another sunny day, Saturday afternoon, recording from New York City. This is the Williamsburg Watch. Today in the studio, as we look out and up and down the East River, we're joined by author and radio personality Jay Ronan. Welcome to the show. For you, the listeners out there, here's what we've got in store today. We will be reading Jay Ronan's Murder on the L Train. It's a short 15-minute murder mystery for radio that takes place here in Williamsburg on the L Train, one of the numerous trains that make up the New York City subway system. Murder on the L Train takes place in three acts. Act 1, the murder. The murder itself. The story starts on the train at the exact moment a young man loses his life. In Act 2, we rewind about 5 minutes in time to see several main characters just before they leave the surface world of Williamsburg and go underground into the busy rush hour morning subway tunnel for the L Train. In the third and final act, resolution. Sort of. As it turns out, things we learned early on weren't necessarily as they seemed. Murder on the L Train. Act 1. It's 8 a.m. Monday morning, on a typical rush hour subway ride from one New York City borough to the next. The young man died, for all intents and purposes, within 3 seconds of the attack. 3 seconds from the moment the weapon penetrated his body, traveling north from the bottom up, traveling north at about 15 degrees off true north, which is about the angle difference between magnetic north on a compass and the actual direction to the North Star. And at this angle, the weapon penetrated upwards quickly, his pancreas, his stomach, just clipping the spleen and utterly ceasing the functionality of the cardiovascular system when it split the muscle between the left and right ventricle, widened and ripped the tricuspid valve, and tore all leftmost tissue of the aorta while bursting forth from the forwardmost portion of his right atrium, basically splitting the victim's heart in two. For as violent as this murder was, it was fast. The penetration from south to north across all that interior torso real estate lasted less than 1 second. The half shriek, the agony, the animal and guttural agony, a sound young, successful, handsome Taylor A.W. Watson had never in his life made, the sound lasted 1 full second. But Taylor's death, at the age of 28, lasted the full, excruciating and flesh-splitting 3 seconds that it took for his central nervous system to collapse, just moments before the physical mechanics of the attack would have shut his body down anyway. In 3 seconds, Taylor was dead, fallen, slumped in a heap on the floor of the L train, with nearly 300 people crammed into the lead subway car. On its way to Manhattan, about halfway from the Bedford stop in Williamsburg to the first stop in New York City in Manhattan. Several seconds after death, the lights on the train came back on.
That's blood!
No, hold on. Oh my. No! Step back. Hey, step back slowly. This is Detective Jay Thompson. You, both of you, back. Again, a little further. This is my badge. I'm in plain clothes, but I'm an NYPD detective. Badge is right here. At this point in our drama, the detective, the only detective on the subway, is struggling to take control of the scene. All eyes were either on him or, if close enough, to the dead man. And although the car was crowded, there was a body on the floor, horizontal, with his cold cheek pressed danger close to the car floor, and there was a crush of suspects present to choose from, the closest of which formed a small perimeter around the now defunct, the now deleted, the once and past, the now historical Taylor A.W. Watson. The detective, possibly our only hero in this story, needed to get his bearings. Here's what he's thinking. Just my fucking luck. Me, on a train that's supposed to last 8, maybe 10 minutes. I've been on this car type before. It's 252 persons max, some seated, some standing, and it's rush hour, so it's full. Breathe, Jack. Yeah, in situations like this, all you can do is fall back on the training. So here I am, 3 feet from the looped stanchion, double pole towards the front of the car. That's important. What, only because I'm at the 9 o'clock position of that pole, and around it, stand five others, right? Three females. I see two males. All of us forming this little circle. Our little circle, which perfectly frames something similar to what maybe Da Vinci himself penned years ago. That's what it looks like the Vitruvian man. Us in a circle around this body on the floor. The only detective front and center on this for what? A murder on the fucking L train. Just then, as the news spread within the cramped, standing room only car, panic set in. A hand from within the crowded subway car shot out for the emergency brake, grabbed it, and pulled it down hard. Somewhere beneath the East River, the train came to an abrupt and claustrophobic halt. Including the detective, six people formed a rather tight circle around the body on the floor. Two women, three men. To the detective's left, moving clockwise, these people are Chrissy, Lisa, Jennifer, Nicholas, and Timothy. Six men and women, including the detective, who, just 5 minutes prior to the murder, were converging on the Bedford L train stop, above ground. They were walking from their homes in the brisk, cool air of a sunny, regular Monday morning commute. Let us go back to the events of just 5 minutes ago.
Jack, Venti Pike Black Coffee for Jack?
Yeah, that's me. Thanks. Yeah. Same barista. Same barista every damn day. She'd remember my face if she ever bothered to make eye contact. Anyway, I know I'm cutting it close. 7:55 a.m. I need to be face-to-face with the captain by 8:30 sharp. Most of the neighborhood pouted when the Starbucks went in. I just smiled. Like today. This Starbucks is about 50 feet, 60 feet from the L train entrance. Entering the train station a few steps ahead of Jack, we have...
Hey, Chrissy, you just can't leave. Oh, you're leaving. Let me give you a hug. There, it was great catching up. I'll see you over the holidays. That's right, and I hear the train. I gotta go. Bye.
Standing on the platform, scrolling through old text messages on his phone, we have... What a joke. Here's another one. She says, Nicholas, it's not you. It's me. She actually typed that in a text. That's how she ended a 2-year relationship with a cliche when I knew all along we started as a rebound. What a joke. And now, a young woman on the phone near the subway entrance who's pacing.
No, it's just Lisa. L-I-S-A. No, don't transfer me. The last guy said this was a department and... Well... 15 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Oh, hot guy about to go down the subway steps. Don't mind if I do.
Approaching the subway entrance from the north and the west, two friends meet.
Good morning, Timothy.
Jennifer, good morning. We gotta stop meeting like this.
Like this?
Unplanned. Converging on the L train, rush hour.
Yes, with all the bars nearby. Drinks tonight?
Yeah, deal. But hustle. I think that's the train.
And last but not least, Taylor. He strides evenly across the sidewalk and only shifts slightly to the right as he begins descending the steps that lead from the surface world of Williamsburg to the concrete and steel and square and long passageways that connect the city underground. His cufflinks bear his initials, T-A-W-W. Taylor A.W. Watson. His Ralph Lauren suit, a solid ultra-flex classic fit gray wool jacket pant and vest combination, are set off by his red knit Alexander Ulch tie. His hands are free, a man totally unencumbered. He does not ferry a laptop or papers to and from the office. Standing on the subway platform, his attire looks out of place, but he is comfortable, looks approachable, or he would if it didn't look like he had something on his mind. As the Manhattan-bound train advances, Taylor steps forward but is jostled to the side by a small group of latecomers rushing down the steps.
Hey, excuse me. That was rather unnecessary.
The train begins to move. Taylor is holding on to the center pole lightly in the foremost section of the subway car. And the lights go out.
Another blackout.
End Act 1. Act 2.
We are interrupting your regularly scheduled programming to bring you this news bulletin. New York One is receiving reports of an L train, a Manhattan-bound L train, that has either crashed or has somehow otherwise become stuck in the tunnel below the East River. I'm being told that this information is coming from the MTA Operations Control Center, and there is no word from passengers as of now due to the lack of cell phone service in the long portion of tunnel that runs below the river. The train has been stopped for approximately 15 minutes. We can only imagine how many people might be stranded down there at this time. More to come as New York One learns more about this potentially disastrous Monday morning commute.
Meanwhile, back in the lead subway car of this 8-car configured L train, the interrogations were about to begin.
Look, I know. It feels like we've been down here an hour. It's only been 15 minutes. And, hey, can you hear me in the back?
Yes.
Let me give everyone on the train a status update. First, no one above ground knows we've even had a death on the train. But they do know we're stuck. The ops center must have lit up like a Christmas tree the second the emergency brake was thrown. Bad news. Bad news is, it's almost always, and I repeat, it's almost always better to not throw the emergency brake on these things. It just means, if you throw the brake, that we'll be stuck down here with this body longer, like we will be now, and too far from the platforms to get out and walk.
Is he gonna smell? Like, how long does it take a dead body to start smelling?
Yeah, alright, calm down. We got a little time. Sometimes days. Right conditions, but down here, probably 2 to 3 hours. For those of you in the back, again, we've got a small perimeter set up around the body. Because this subway car is so packed right now, just imagine 6 people kind of making a little circle around the body. We don't want to disturb the crime scene, as it were, right now. We're about arm's length away from the middle of the circle, right here where the pole is. So far, we have 1 deceased male. Based on ID, it is Taylor A.W. Watson. Did any of you know him? Anyone on the train know a Taylor A.W. Watson?
I should have told you earlier. I followed him down here. I was going to get a bagel, but then I saw him go on the subway. He caught my eye.
Right then. Did anyone in this car know Taylor A.W. Watson? Look, are you planning to solve this thing right here, shouting questions out to everyone across the subway car? You're Timothy Lentz? Yeah, you've got the pic of my license on your phone. We talked about how to get this blood out of my boots. Yeah, listen, Timothy, unfortunately, I'm not going to solve this thing by yelling questions throughout the car. But now that we have a perimeter, small as it is, around the body, now that we've got everyone's hands out in front of them, like that, right? We're about as secure as we can be for now.
Hi, Chrissy again. How can this be secure? Whoever did this is here with us. What if they do it again? I mean, the lights and all.
Miss, do you remember the first thing I did when the lights came back on?
Held out your badge?
All right, after that, once we scooted back and got everyone quiet.
You checked him. The body. Right, and right away confirmed he was dead, bleeding out the ass from some kind of puncture wound.
Entry wound was the lower back, the lumbar region, not the ass. Small exit wound just above the victim's sternum.
He was shot? Y'all hear that? Might happen again.
What if it does? How do we know? I mean, there could be a gun. Enough! Listen, I need that side of the car from you right there to turn and face away from the crime scene. Now, this section, everybody right here that's a little closer to the body, we're going to talk about this. But I will ask the questions and you will answer the questions. So let's keep it orderly.
The detective achieved a semblance of order and quickly surveyed the 5 closest, the 5 most probable suspects. Again, Chrissy, Lisa, Jennifer, Nicholas, and Timothy. I'll start with you.
Me? You. You want me to No, just please wait for the questions, okay? Your name, please. Once again, Nicholas. Like that? Nicholas only? Right, Nicholas Klein. Nicholas Klein, did you know the deceased?
No.
How about casually? You seen him around? On the train? At a bar?
No.
Where did you get on the train, Nicholas?
I just got on. At Bedford.
If I asked you to tell me the events of your morning from the moment you woke up to the moment you entered the subway car, what would you say?
That I'd rather not.
Okay. I'll just keep going around the circle. You, miss. Name?
My name is Jennifer Lynn O'Toole. Oh, more?
Yeah, Jennifer, did you know the deceased?
I did not. I do know Timothy, him, but we didn't come here together. We didn't plan to come here together, I mean.
Jennifer, had you ever seen the victim before today?
I don't believe so. I noticed him when we were standing around the pole, but I don't think I've seen him before.
Jennifer, do you recall where the victim was standing? Just before the lights went out on this car, when the subway car was moving.
I do. He was... let me think. He was facing the front of the train, standing at this pole, holding it. So he was standing on that side, almost opposite of me, but I was pretty much here, but closer to the pole.
How close to the pole was the victim?
How close?
Yeah, was his arm extended all the way, or something less?
Oh, I know.
Okay, thanks. Lisa, right? You tell me.
When we first got on the train, he was kind of far, holding the pole, but kind of far, with his arm extended. But then it got really crowded, so we moved in, still holding the pole, but pretty close.
And when the lights went off, what did you hear, Lisa?
Oh, let me think. I was just as uncomfortable as, well, I was quiet, but everyone was swearing and shifting and commenting on the blackout car, but then the scream, my heart stopped. I don't think I'll ever forget that scream. And the way he slumped, like, you could hear him fall, but it was more of a slump.
Yeah, it's okay. That was helpful.
Detective Jack Thompson eyed each of his suspects from left to right. Chrissy, Lisa, Jennifer, Nicholas, Timothy. He noted the floor, their hands, no weapons, of course, no visible blood or scratches. Their hands were clean. The hands wouldn't matter again until he found the weapon.
Okay, Chrissy, right? Chrissy, you were right next to me. What did you see?
Nothing.
Well, okay, elaborate. What do you mean, nothing?
I didn't see him.
You see him now, don't you?
Maybe his jacket looks familiar. I was reading.
But holding onto the same pole as the victim?
Yes.
So if you did look up, the victim would have been almost directly across from you.
Look, I got on the train at the last stop too, Bedford. I don't know the deceased. I didn't see him or take note of him until he was slumped like that down on the floor.
Yeah, Chrissy, what did you hear when the lights went out?
Swearing, complaining. I think I heard when the weapon, whatever it was, I think I heard when the weapon did that.
Did that?
Did that, yes. Killed him. There was a click, and then there was a swoosh or whoosh type of noise, like something long sliding across something soft. It was fast. There was a clang and a ruffle, and then the thump of sorts of the body hitting the floor. I guess it was the body.
I see. Can you, would you mind? Can you tell me about that again, what you heard?
Yes. Okay, first there was the grumbling, all the swearing and so forth. Then there was something metal, like a latch and a click. Then I heard, I think it was the sound of the weapon going up into the victim, but it was fast. There was a metallic sound and a ruffling of fabric, maybe the man's coat as he slid down the pole. Then I heard him hit the floor, not like a free fall, but pretty hard.
Yeah, okay, I see, taking notes. Thank you. I might come back to you, Chrissy. But now we turn to, it's Timothy, sir. Timothy Hopkins. What else can I tell you? Timothy, please use this glove.
and carefully. Keep back from the body and the blood, but carefully pick up that black umbrella that is lying over there on the floor, just past Jennifer. Yeah, I see it. Hold on. Nicholas, Jennifer, excuse me. Watch out the, what? Hold on there.
Whose umbrella is it?
Careful, Tim. Careful with the umbrella. I'll take it now. Okay, yes, thank you. Okay, Chrissy, Tim, stand back, please. I'm going to try to open this.
What is that?
Well, I'll be damned.
This long ice pick looking blade? It's a little longer and slightly thicker than an ice pick blade. See here? It fit all the way inside into the shaft of the umbrella, and it's almost as long as the entire shaft itself. It opened when I clicked the release button, but the umbrella itself does not open. No, instead this instrument shoots forth. Okay, so the killer opens the blade, then retracts the blade, like this. Then he tosses the umbrella along the floor. With this many people, though, we can see it didn't get too far.
That blade, that long blade you just showed, went all the way through?
It looks like it did. It must have gone all the way through his lower back and out of his sternum. Nicholas, where and when did you get on the train?
I just got on. At Bedford, at the last stop. I don't usually take the train in my gym clothes, but I'm hoping to take a class, a training class, maybe spin or boxing, because I have the day off and thought it would be a good day to double up on the old routine.
Tell me about your morning from the moment you woke up to the moment you entered this subway car.
Yeah, it was a normal morning.
Normal?
Not exactly normal. I've got the day off, like I said, so I was going to hit the gym, but didn't want to do the normal stuff, like weights or run on the treadmill, so I...
Nicholas, did you know Taylor?
No, I might have seen him get on the train. Tall guy, right? Impeccable suit. But no, I didn't know the victim.
Nicholas, any idea what happened when the lights went out?
For that? Yeah. Detective, I'd rather not speculate, Detective.
This is the train operator. We will be moving in approximately 5 to 10 minutes. We will be moving again in approximately 5 to 10 minutes. Please be sure to take a seat or hold on to something. Thank you.
That's good news, folks. We'll be out of here in no time. Listen up. Everyone, thanks. Thanks for your cooperation. I've got pictures of 263 IDs. Most of you will be released once we get to the subway platform. You five, Chrissy, Lisa, Jennifer, Nicholas, and Timothy, I'll definitely follow up with you. But you know, Nicholas, I'd like you to stay behind. Talk to some of my colleagues once we're able to phone this in. Back on the subway platform. Hopefully at First Avenue.
Me? What? Why me? Nah, I've got to get out of here. You don't want to know. You don't want to know. You don't want to know, Nicholas. Sit tight.
Fuck. Tell me what it is.
Why me?
Okay, Nicholas.
I'll lay it out for you. We'll do it right here. Let the others watch. First, Taylor A.W. Watson stood at that pole. Timothy, here, was to my right. Then it would have been Taylor, then you.
Look down at the blood now, Nicholas. There. There's no blood on me.
Look at the pool of blood there in the middle. See? And then also going away from it, the two or three little small drips. They're not inside the pool, Nicholas. They lead away and toward the rear of the car and ever so slightly that way. Your general direction. Your direction and Timothy's direction. But we don't have to worry about Timothy, do we, Nicholas? This was a one-man show.
That doesn't mean anything.
What? The blood drips indicate the direction from which the weapon, this long, sharp weapon, was pulled out or otherwise removed from the victim. Think about it. We've been jostled and moving around. How long have you known Taylor? Don't even answer now. I'm guessing he was, well, let's see. We know he was 28, so I'm guessing you've known him since middle school, at least high school. So 14 years? Call it 14 years at least? How can you know that or think you know that? I was on the platform too, Nicholas. I was your dumb luck. I got on the train when the rest of you did. All random, but you see, on trains, I don't use headphones. I can't with my service piece in my holster, my gun. So listen. I listen. You should have. I heard Taylor. I imagine you two would rather not do a lot of things. Christ, probably started speaking like that in prep school. Maybe Phillips Academy? You and he syncing up with your words? All the rathers? And here two fours? So on and so forth. What? Stop right there, Detective. What weapon? What? I didn't come on here with that thing. Right. So you said earlier, you didn't know Taylor, you didn't come with this umbrella, and you just happened to have the day off. The way you originally answered my questions, if you recall, was with a curt no. You weren't cooperating, and you weren't giving any details. You weren't elaborating. Everything was in short-form response mode. But then you saw how all these other innocent people answered my questions. They were relaxed, helpful. Some of them even talked too much. Tell me, did you and Taylor work together as well?
I was heading to the gym.
Oh, you want the best part? Here. For those of you in the back, please, look forward. As I hold my hand over three different heads, you let me know if any of these people pushed by you when we first got on the train. If they squeezed by you. And I'm not talking to anybody here in the front that's been watching me speak with Nicholas, but just you way in the back there, by the rear door. You see, Nick, my boy, I think everyone else at the front of the train here just got on, like a normal day. Got on the train and stood close to the area that they entered. But you, because you knew the victim, Taylor, you saw him get on the train at the front, and so you got on in the back of the car. You would have had to fight your way forward through the car, pushing and jostling and forcing these people, these witnesses, to take note of you. You did that so that he wouldn't know you were coming. And then you killed him, Nicholas.
Nicholas gave himself up the moment he attacked Detective Jack Thompson.
Hold him back.
That was his confession. For the stressful heart has nowhere to go. He validated a simple hunch that a standard, run-of-the-mill NYPD detective with a few street smarts put together. End Act 2. Act 3.
1 week after the grisly murder on the L train, evidence continues to stack up against Nicholas Klein. New York One has confirmed that MTA closed-circuit television captured Klein with the murder weapon as he entered the subway at Bedford and North 7th Street in Williamsburg. Furthermore, Nicholas Klein and victim Taylor A.W. Watson knew each other since 9th grade, contradicting information Klein shared with Detective Thompson on the train while it was stuck beneath the East River. All signs point to an open and shut case, with one lone hero cop making a difference, one important arrest at a time.
Meanwhile, inside a studio apartment located at North 8th Street and Berry Street in Williamsburg, three young people watched this news reporter. When the New York One reporter finished her story, the man got up and turned the TV off. Timothy turned to face a stoic Lisa and a contemplative Chrissy.
We have to learn from that. Right. It was amazing to watch it all unfold. It was a gift.
It was, and I just don't get it. What are the odds? All right, the three of us doing our own dry run for our own devilish little plot, our own little bit of murder and mayhem. Bam! We get a front and center row seat to watch some kid get screwed up by dumb luck. Kills a guy. Good plan, mostly, too. Looked all right. but kills a guy 4 feet away from a cop.
His loss. We must learn from it. Agree. A week from now, that could be us if we're not careful.
Agree.
End Act 3. End Murder on the L Train.
Thank you for riding with yesterday's New York City Press.